Hello, I'm Victoria Sanchez with Cisco Systems, and welcome to this special podcast on Cisco Borderless Networks for Government. My guest today is David Graziano, Operations Director for Public Sector Security, who will help us understand what Cisco means by borderless networks and how a borderless network is relevant to both national and local governments. Welcome, David.
Hi, Victoria. Thanks for having me today.
Well, let's start right in. We've heard Cisco talking a lot about borderless networks. What is it, and why is it important?
Victoria, Cisco borderless networks, it's both a business and a technical architecture that can improve all aspects of government operations and service delivery. So let me explain what I mean by that. We talk a lot about our constituents, our customers' constituents, and some common messages and common themes that emerge as we've talked with both customers and their users and constituents. And what they're saying is that their operations would be more efficient if only the network could improve citizen access and citizen visibility, plus the internal communications, both interagency and intra-agency. And all of these groups need to get information anytime, from any place, using a multitude of devices. So from this, Victoria, this emerges a unique set of challenges, what we choose to call borders. For example, one theme is that the network is no longer just PCs and laptops. You have all sorts of devices trying to use the network. And in government networks in particular, you have employees using new devices both in the office and remotely, and at the point of citizen interaction, such as, IP phones, smartphones, laptops, kiosks, and other worker or consumer devices. We're also seeing enhanced websites for both interagency and citizen use. We're seeing wireless access points for workers and constituents for access, and then migration of other devices to IP, such as digital signs with event notifications and new securities cameras and sensors that are hitting the market. So, of course, different government agencies like law enforcement and national security will have their own unique devices, all of which are network attached. One of the questions is, how do you get all of these devices onto a common IP network while still maintaining security, availability, and quality of service? So how can the network know that traffic from a device providing safety and security information is more important than someone surfing the web during the lunch hour?
Wow, I sure hope you have an answer to that question.
Victoria, we have a lot of the answers here. These are precisely the types of challenges that Cisco borderless networks are designed to address. So now what I've just described, we called it the device border. And it's not enough to connect these devices to the network and hope that they work. You need to know the identity of a device, who it belongs to, whether it's a government-furnished piece of equipment or privately owned, and what they're allowed to do. And if you know these things, you can also improve network availability based on who they are. So I'm going to talk about two things as we walk through this right now. We're going to talk about identity and availability. So first off, identity. Our customers, they need a complete and flexible identification and authorization system, which workers across the different departments and potentially with external contractors or citizens, these challenges can be addressed by Cisco Identity-Based Network Services, also known as Cisco IBNS, and a lot of people are calling it identity. And then we're moving into the future for identity of something called TrustSec. The other area, availability, you need to provide high availability for employees because more and more technology is becoming an important part of how governments interact with their citizens and how they provide safety and security. So whether it's a local or partnering with other agencies, national defense agencies, you have to identify the data flows, you have to prioritize them above all others, and protect privacy and confidentiality. So you really need an intelligent and full-featured infrastructure to pull this off. And as I mentioned, you have to be able to do it for both wired and wireless networks.
And Cisco Borderless Networks provides all of this for you? It has the infrastructure to do this?
Absolutely. So although the problem extends beyond devices because it has something to do with people too, no government agency is really a standalone. It's a complex matrix of interactions with other agencies and citizens and contractors and consultants and private sector suppliers. So one of the questions is, how do you integrate all of these yet still maintain security and confidentiality?
That sounds like a significant challenge. I mean, border.
Well, it has legal and political consequences for governments. Citizens have an expectation about the privacy of their personal information. And government has access to a tremendous amount of personal information, whether it's health records, law enforcement, immigration records, tax, real estate, permits, school information, and enabling secure access to that information while providing appropriate access to authorized personnel requires a really rich policy framework that can be applied at different points in the network. And policy is central to the Cisco borderless network architecture.
But doesn't all of this policy management make the network overly complex?
You know, you'd think so, but not necessarily. There are both embedded and external management tools that can simplify and automate policy management for you. So network and productivity, this is really important. Network and productivity are not mutually exclusive. The experience of the network and applications within the limits of what you're allowed to do according to security policy should be the same wherever the employee is located. So the same performance, the same security, and the same seamless experience. And that's where we're taking our customers. And if a network can't deliver that experience, we call that a location border. And it's another of the areas that Cisco's borderless networks address. You need high performance, you need high security, you need application optimization and virtualization technologies like those in Cisco borderless networks. And these can handle government agency field workers anytime, anywhere they are, while also allowing outside access to contractors, to partners, citizens, and businesses needing access to the network and coming into the network to do things they need to do. So at the same time, you need a flexible infrastructure to allow citizen access, even during an emergency event such as Katrina that we experienced a few years ago. So that means you can move locations and still provide the same level of service virtually or in person with your constituents.
So location shouldn't matter.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so the remote and mobile users have the same level of productivity as wired users in the office. But let's talk for a second about asset tracking, okay? So, you know, we talked about the need to be able to pick up and go and have government anytime, any place, anywhere. But there's also the need to track assets. So one twist on this is the actual physical location of assets which need to be tracked. Location does matter when you're trying to track down laptops and digital media players and vehicles or work crews. And this tracking not only saves time when it's trying to locate or deploy those shared accesses, assets, but also provides protection against loss or theft. You know, maybe it's better to say the network should be location aware, knowing where things are or where people are when it matters, but also optimizing the experience government can be both efficient and responsive.
Okay, we've covered devices and locations. Are there other borders in government we need to be aware of?
You know, another one, Victoria, another big one is application border. You know, different branches and agencies within governments will have specialized applications as part of their job. So we're also seeing government agencies adding Web 2.0 and collaboration and video applications as part of their work process and ways of working more effectively with citizens and with each other. And then on top of that, there's this new breed of both internal users and constituents. They're expecting their service deliveries to be more responsive and more accessible and similar to what they're getting from anywhere on the web. They expect our local and federal governments to look and act a lot more like Amazon and Facebook. And then on top of that, you add responsibility, the responsibility of government to be available at all times, regardless of the situation. So they don't have the ability to close down for a snow day or a hurricane or some other unplanned event.
Sure, like Cisco rapidly deployable communication solutions. With all these threats, like you mentioned, natural disasters, terrorism, and pandemics, you need to be able to quickly set up mobile collaboration networks for voice, video, and data communications. Multiple agencies can interoperate with secure data over wired, wireless, and satellite networks.
That's exactly right. That's the type of benefits we're talking about. But just like other devices, you can't just throw voice and video and collaboration onto your network and hope for the best. You have to increase your bandwidth in certain locations. You know, maybe it's implementing a 10 gig Ethernet core or even a 10 gig Ethernet uplink into a wiring closet. You need to be able to identify video and voice streams automatically. And then you need to be able to control the path they're taking over the network, and you need to be able to monitor how they're performing. And that's why Cisco MediaNet is an integral part of the Cisco borderless network architecture. It provides a framework for deploying rich media applications on a Cisco network.
So devices, location, and application border. Got it. Is that it?
That's it, and there's one more. So governments are continuing to focus on suitability and their environment impact. You know, we like to think that the network, because it increasingly touches everything in a government environment, we like to think that a network can provide additional value to other parts of the organization. One obvious area where that can happen is energy management. And this is kind of a new thing, because as governments and devices on the network are migrating towards IP, you know, energy is usually a concern of the facilities and physical plant part of the government. The information technology department usually has a budget for energy, but it doesn't get too involved with the administration of the delivery of that energy. So it's just a line item on the overall budget. Now, we think that the Cisco borderless network can break down that organizational barrier and create better cooperation between IT and facilities and managing energy costs. So Cisco has this new technology called Cisco EnergyWise, and it lets customers intelligently measure, report, and reduce the energy consumption across the entire business, whether it's at a headquarters location or an individual agency office. And they can optimize power delivery and reduce their energy costs. So we're releasing it in phases, and the most recent phase expands a customer's sphere of control to include power over Ethernet devices like IP phones and wireless access points and IP surveillance cameras, as well as PCs and laptops. But the next phase is really cool. The next phase of Cisco EnergyWise will further expand that visibility to extend into facilities integration like lights and elevators and heating and ventilation and air conditioning. And we're doing that through a tighter integration with the Cisco Network Building Mediator. I have trouble saying that. Providing a more sustainable and cost-effective facility is an excellent way for IT to demonstrate their value to the rest of the government agency. And that's why Cisco EnergyWise and sustainability in general is a key component of the Cisco borderless network.
Okay, so let me end with a tough question. Why Cisco? Couldn't you construct a borderless network with another network vendor's equipment?
You know, I think there's a lot of ways to answer that. You know, start at the technology level. Remember when we talked about identity, availability, and policy? Some other vendors have identification and authorization technologies, but not as full-featured and flexible as Cisco's identity-based network services. There's some very strong Cisco differentiators and competitive advantages for our teams. And I think that you'll find the same story with a lot of technologies I've mentioned, whether it's policy control and enforcement, quality of service, and so on. And then there's some pure differentiators like Cisco EnergyWise. No one else in the industry has anything that compares to that. And Victoria, moving up from that, I think you have to return to something I said at the beginning of this podcast, that Cisco Borderless Networks is a business as well as a technical architecture. And our goal, ultimately, is to solve business problems. In a government's case, it's the business of efficiently supplying services to its citizens and constituents, and the need to respond quickly during emergencies. In order to do that, I think you need the broad portfolio of products and solutions that only Cisco has. And finally, Cisco Borderless Networks provides the infrastructure for many of the government-specific solutions we have. Solutions like Cisco Open Platform for Safety and Security, which links together digital media systems and IP telephony and collaboration and physical security to accelerate event detections and notifications in emergencies. Or the Cisco Citizen and Business Interaction Network, which uses IP communications to address non-emergency service requests and it enables flexible service delivery to citizens and businesses. You know, there's a lot more, and all of these are deployed on the Cisco Borderless Network architecture. We know the needs of technology, but we also know the needs of the government agencies, and we're in the best position to fulfill those needs.
Well, thank you, David. If people want more information on this, where should they go?
Victoria, the Borderless Network site is located at www.cisco.com/go/borderless. You can also view a recent webcast about borderless networks at cisco.com/go/experience. And then finally, focused on government, if you're interested in our solutions for government, you can go to www.cisco.com/go/government.
Fantastic. Thanks again, David. I'm Victoria Sanchez, and until next time, thanks for listening.